We're holding on Chof Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Chof Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Rav Yosi ben Amshulamayr, a shechet as a bechor, a person is shechting a bechor, and that means you need a space on the neck to be able to do it. Because it's mikan and mikan, he's allowed to make a space with the koifet. A koifet is a large knife, a cleaver. You're allowed to move away the hair from one side and the other to make room for the knife to shecht. The turlish is a fair, and pull out the hair that's there, even though normally you have an ister to be goizes, you have an ister, we've learned a number of times already, you have an ister to shear a bechor, but here you're allowed to because you're doing it for the here you're doing it for the purpose of shechita.
And it's not really shearing, just removing the neck
hair. Well, you're still hair, it's still hair or wool that's on the neck. Well, actually, is a genuine makoime as long as you don't move the wool from its place. So you leave it, so you pull it away from one side to the other, but you don't want it to look like you do it, like you shear in kudshim, so therefore you leave it still tangled in with the wool on the other side.
So you cut it without removing it?
No, so you don't cut it, in other words. Well, the way Rashi is saying is you move the hair from one side or another to make room for the knife to shech, so you don't have a problem with chalot, so you don't have a problem that the blade of the knife is going to be covered, which would be a problem which would pass for the shech. However, you leave that whatever hair you pulled to the side, you leave it tangled in with the rest of the wool, so it doesn't look like you did goizes on kodshim. Tosfos actually talks about usually you don't use a koifet, a large knife like that for shechting. Usually you use a sapling, you know, a smaller knife. A koifet is a large like a cleaver, right? So, right. Okay, but you could use a cleaver, but that's Tosfos says. The point is, in other words, that we're saying, even if you plan to use a cleaver and therefore you need more room than you would for a knife, you're still able to do it. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi that it's a problem of chalada. It's more a matter, it's not so much a matter of chalada that otherwise you're passing the shchita, but just practically speaking, you need room for it to be able to cut. Chalada, as we learned, that if the blade of the knife is covered during the shchita, then you have a problem. So therefore, if it's covered up by hair or wool or whatever, it would be halacha. It can be anything. It can be hair or wool as well. Yeah. So that's the thing. So Rashi explains we're talking about that you need it because of halacha. Tosfos says if that was the reason, it didn't have to mention a koifit. It could have mentioned a sakin, a normal knife, where you'd have a bigger problem of halacha. So and in fact, Tosfos says that actually there was a question we had in Chulin whether it's considered chalada if the wool is tangled on the neck over there, and it didn't come to a conclusion. So the fact it is considered chalada as a suffix, but still our Mishnah would be implying that's a vani. So Tosfos says rather that what it is that we're talking about that when you're using a koifet, you need a much larger area because a koifet is inconvenient to cut with unless you have a large area available for it, and that's the point of the Mishnah that you're allowed to pull away the wool in that area in order to make a large space if you're shechting with a koifet. So it's not so much a matter of chalada. If it was a knife, you wouldn't need such a large space. Tosfos says it's not necessarily chalada. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. The Mishnah is not necessarily taking a stand on that. But you wouldn't need such a large space. The point is, you're even allowed to make a large space when you're planning to shecht with a koifet.
Because the koifet is large.
Because the koifet is large, and therefore you need that. Okay. Same thing. Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam says you're also allowed to pull away the hair from an area on the body in order to see the place of a mum, in order to be able to show it to a chacham for him to determine whether it's an actual mum or not. So two different things. One is you're allowed to pull away the wool around the makom hashchita in order to be able to shecht, and the other one is you're allowed to pull away the wool in an area where there's a mum in order to show it to a chacham. So Amaram halacha Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam. Now halacha is like Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam. We learned yesterday why Rav needs to say that, as well as that in general, when you have a statement of a tana and or perek without anybody arguing that the halacha is like him. We said first of all Rav had the Kabbalah. There's no Mishnah, and there's no Braisa, but he had the Kabbalah that there are tanoim who argue with him. So Rav is saying, never mind that. The fact is the halacha is like him. And number two, we said he also said more generally that the halacha is like whenever you have a statement of a tana where there's no machloikas on it, nor perek, and the halacha is like him because he had to say, because otherwise if he only said that statement, we would think that refers to our Mishnah, and we would think the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel of the previous Mishnah. And so we had that whole discussion that therefore he made two statements in order to, so therefore it applies there, and it applies, well, here he said explicitly the halacha is like Rav Yosi ben Amishulam. Okay. Now, bo minim Rav Huna, connected to Yom Tov Mahu. So they asked Rav Huna, what about, would the parallel kind of thing be mutter on Yom Tov? Forget about it before. Just a plain old case where you're trying to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, and again, you need to clear a space for the shechita knife. Would you be allowed to do such a thing on Yom Tov?
With a regular shechita knife?
Right, no. Well, in other words, again, the same parallel case that we're talking about over here, where you need to clear away the wool in or hair or whatever in that area in order to be able to shecht properly, where we're talking about as far as a bechor, you have a mitzvah, loy soga is bechor, that you're not allowed to shear the bechor. In general, on Yom Tov, you also have a malacha of on Shabbos also, but on Shabbos you can't shech, so it's a moot point. But on Yom Tov, you're allowed to shech, it's malacha ferchel nefesh, but you're still not allowed to do goizes, you see, you're still not allowed to shear. So the question would be, would this kind of case be mutter on Yom Tov? This kind of situation, to be able to move away the wool, even though you might be ripping it out. So first, let's learn the words of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about those two major approaches that the Rishonim have to understanding the two sides of the question. So first, let's see. Is it time that Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam mishum b'kasavar toilah shalav ha'nigoyz? Is it that Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam is only allowing it because he says that toilah, pulling wool out, is not the same as goizes. Goizes would mean shearing it, like with a keli. Toilah would be pulling it out by hand. That's the definition that most of the poskim have between Tolish and Gozes. Tolish is pulling it out, Gozes is chewing. Right, and yeah, most of the Rishonim also, most of the poskim also understand that Tolish means by hand, whereas Gozes means with a keli. There are some who argue that maybe Tolish with a keli would also be considered Gozes. Okay, anyway. So would we say that Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam holds that fine, Tolish is not the same as Goizes, therefore when you're doing it, you're not being over on the issue of Gizan of Bechor, because the issue is only to shear it, not pluck out the wool.
You're allowed to pluck the wool there.
Maybe that's what we're arguing, that's one possibility. Or the Yom Tov also, on the other hand though, we could argue on Yom Tov it would still be also to have a Oker Dovim of Yidoloi, because after all, on Yom Tov, it's a matter of you're not allowed to uproot something from the natural place where it grows. And in that case, you could say it would be mutter on by Bechor, but it would be also on Yom Tov. Oduma, or maybe, Ba'al Masavar Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam Tolish HaNigoizes. Maybe usually Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam would hold that Tolish, that pulling out by hand, uprooting, is the same as Goizes, as shearing. Behind time of the Shari, in which case we would say, why is he matter it over here? The Chorah, you're being over on the issue of Loisogar's Bechor Tzenecha. You would say, Dabal Ejavashen Meskavin. You would say, because he's not intending to pull out the wool, he's intending to pull it to one side to the other, and the other, and by accident, maybe some of it is getting whipped out. We could argue that maybe we know he's matur it in our Mishnah. That's what we're trying to figure out. Why is he matur it? Is it because he holds that Tolish is Bechlana also by Bechor in the first place? Or is it he holds Tolish would be also by Bechor if you did it with Kavana? But like this, you're doing it without Kavana and not. Yom Tov, Dovashen, Meskavin, Mutter. Well, on Yom Tov, we have a rule. We have a machlokus in a number of places in Shas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, whether Dovashen, Meskavin is Mutter or not. The halacha is that it is. And in any rate, we could say that Reb Yosi ben Amishulam, being a Tana, can hold like the Tana, which is Reb Shimon, would say that it's Mutter. And in that case, the answer would be that according to him, it would also work, right? According to him, it would also be Mutter on Yom Tov. So those are the questions. Within that, you have a nuance where the Rishonim have a couple of possible explanations. One of them is if we take the first angle that Tolish is not included in Goizes, then it would mean Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam would allow you to do it even l'chatchila when it comes to a Bechor. Not only we're talking about that if you meant to pull the wool to one side to another and some of it accidentally got ripped out, he would allow it. We would say that Amnon learns this way, that it means that Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam would say, if we say Tolish is not Goizes, which is what the Gemara is going to conclude, then it would mean that he would allow it even l'chatchila by Bechor, l'chatchila to rip out the wool in order to have room for shechita. Right. Well, by hand, in other words. As opposed to on Yom Tov, we would say only if it's Ein Meskavin, because Dovash Ein Meskavin is Mutter, but otherwise you're being over on an Issur Yom Tov. Right. So that's one.
Not for
Goizes. Right. So not the issue. So it wouldn't be an issue by Bechor. You could do it even the Kavana, but when it comes to Yom Tov, this is how the Rambam comes in. On the other hand, you have Tosfos has a discussion of it over here, where Tosfos mentions that no, you could say that either way, we're saying that by a Bechor, it's for sure not also if you're intending to. Even if we say Tolish Labhain or Goizes, we would still say that it's also to do it for Kavana by a Bechor. But if we say you're allowed to do it shaloi b'kavana, is that because fundamentally you don't have an issue of toilish by b'chur? And therefore, when it comes to, so there's minat Torah, at least, from the Rabbanon, we're not going to allow you to do it on purpose, but we'll allow you to do it, to shame to the Shaloi B'Kabana. Because you could say, of Torah, you could argue that, but maybe that's what it means, that maybe the Rabbanon, it would be also on the Daraisa, it would be Mutter. But on the other hand, on Yom Tov, then maybe it would be also even Shaloi B'Kabana. Or then the second part of the question is that maybe we would still say even on Yom Tov, it's Dav Shein Miskaven. Okay, so those are the two major approaches to the Gemara's question, and those two different approaches affect the understanding of other parts of our sugya. Okay, so those are the questions. Amalahu, so they ask Rav Huna this and says to them, Zilu Shailu Lechanano, go ask Rav Huna. Well, he didn't. So one possibility is he didn't know what Rav Yosi did. He knew that. He didn't know. We're asking him the question, what does Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom hold? He may not have known. So he says, Zilu Shailu Rav Chananel. He says, go ask Rav Chananel, who is a Talmud of Rav, ask him, E Oma Halacha to Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom. And if he comes back that Rav says the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom, if Shit Lachu, then I will answer you the question, what Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom holds. In other words, apparently on the surface of it, Rav Huna did not know what we said on the first line. He's saying like this. Actually, there's one interesting explanation from the Roy Misadr, from the Nasiv, that says that we have to know first whether Rav said the halachas like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom, because if one possibility is you could say that maybe Rav Yosi ben Amishalom allows it. He wants to say another possibility that the Gemara hasn't mentioned. Maybe Rav Yosi ben Amishalom would allow it only when you're shechting it for kodshim, because then the kohen can be careful not to rip out the hair. Maybe we wouldn't allow it for a regular person shechting it when it has a mole. So Rav Huna says, first let's find out whether Rav said the halachas like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom. If he said it. He won't have said the halacha is like him just la'asid lava, just for when the Beit Mikdash is built, because you don't in general pass in halacha on such a thing. So if he said the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom, as in fact the first line of our Gemara said he did, then okay, we'll understand that Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom is talking about not only the Kohenim and the Beit Mikdash, but even a regular person doing it when the Bechor develops a mom. And in that case, then we'll be able to figure out what Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom said. Okay. Anyway. Also Shailur, so they went and asked Rav Chananel, Amalavu Hachi Amarav Alachak Rav Yosi ben Amishalom. So they went to Rav Chananel and asked him, did Rav say the halacha is like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom? And he said yes. He said, Hachi Amarav, this is what Rav said, halacha to Rav Yosi ben Amishalom, the halacha is like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom. Actually, Tosfos also has a different angle on it, that if we were to say the halacha is not like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom, and you would say that it's also by a Bechor, then we would say we're not going to allow it on Yom Tov at all, even Kalachayad. So therefore, he wants to know, first, is the halacha like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom, and only then is it Negeah to figure out whether it's also by a Bechor or not.
Had it been forbidden by Bechor,
then we would say it would be forbidden by on Yom Tov. No, not because otherwise they would say, but because if we're going to ask you it even by Bechor, even when he's doing it Shaloi B'Kavana, then it would be also on Yom Tov as well, we would assume. Because Yom Tov is more strict. Okay. Also, the Chamei de Rav Huna, so now they came back to Rav Huna. Okay, Rav Chananel said that Rav said the halacha is like Rav Yosi ben Amishalom. Amalahu, so he tells him, Keneg de Yom Tov Mutter. The parallel thing on Yom Tov would be Mutter. Now again, whether that means that on Yom Tov, that's what we're saying. Once he says that it's mutter by Bechor, then we're saying, so again, again, you have two different ways of understanding it. You can say that he means that therefore on Yom Tov, it would be usur if you do it with Kavanah, to pull out the wool, but it would be mutter shaloi with Kavanah. Or the other possibility, we would say that, again, according to either possibility, fine, you can't be a scavenger, you can't intend to pull out the hair on Yom Tov, because that would be a tolda of goizis, but it would be mutter shaloi b'miskaven. The question is Rabbi Yosi ben Amishalom, in our Mishnah, is he saying you can do it with a Bechor even the Kavana, or is he saying even by the Bechor you can only do it only if it's shaloi b'kavana?
We just said that if we say that it's not allowed by
Bechor,
you wouldn't say it's allowed.
Fine, since Rav said it's allowed by Bechor, Then Rabbona says, okay, now I can tell you. Now I can tell you. Now that we know the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam by Bechor, then it is allowed by Bechor. It is allowed. Then we can say also it is allowed on Yom Tov. Although, then you have Bechor, this is Shainim, does it mean, yeah, between the Rambam and between Tosfos, does it mean that you allowed it on, well, by Bechor, does it mean you allowed it even the Kavano, does it mean even by the Bechor, Shalei B'Kavano? By Yom Tov, it would mean definitely Shalei B'Kavano. Fine. It's Marnami. In fact, they said also, Amar of Hanani Bashlami and Bashmei Dadav, connected the Yom Tov Mutter. We don't just need Rav Huna to come up with it on his own. We have Rav Hanani Bashlami telling us in the name of Rab explicitly that this parallel case would be Mutter on Yom Tov. Okay. The question is, well, Miyom Rab Machi, did Rab really say that? That it's Mutter on the grounds that it's Einem Eskavim? One second. But we know that Achia Ba'ashi said, Shini Ba'achia, as Shit Mukhabat says in the name of Rab. He was a Talmud. He was a Talmud of Rab, yeah. He was an Amara. So he says, Mesukariya Dinizaisa, the plug of a barrel. So you have an earthenware barrel. You have a hole in it, and you have a hole in it, which is where you get the wine or whatever the contents of the barrel are out.
Right.
Then you, so Rashi describes, you wrap. So Rashi describes, you have like a faucet over there, and you wrap like rags and other such soft things around it in order to close up the hole securely. Because in other words, think of it, you make a hole in a barrel and then you put a hose in it or something to be able to, yeah, you need something around the edges of the hose so that liquid doesn't leak out around the edges. And you put in other places, Rashi explains that it means the actual thing that you use eventually to stop up the hole. There's a hole over there, eventually you stop it up, the normal liquid comes flowing out. So you have rags that you stuff in there. The point is, also, so Rav says you're not allowed to squeeze it into place. You're not allowed to press it into place on Yom Tov because you have a problem with schita. You have a problem with squeezing it out.
It has nothing to do with.
It has to do because Rav is saying here it's Einem Eskavim. You don't intend to squeeze it out. Tosfos, by the way, in various other places in Shas, that's going to be the answer. Tosfos and a couple of other places in Shas discusses what exactly would be the issue over here, what exactly are the parameters of, yeah, what exactly are the parameters of Schitta. Anyway, fine. But the question is basically, is it Schitta, which is a Tolda of Dosh, or is it Malabit? Malabin, which is clean. Tosfos discusses in those places can't necessarily be Malabin, because Malabin primarily would talk about if it was wet with water. If you got it wet with water, if you were talking about other liquids, right? So right. Okay. Fine. Okay. The point is you have a malacha, and Rav is saying you're not allowed to do it, even though it's double shame of scavenging. So what do you mean, Rav is saying then that you would be allowed to move the wool to one side and the other, even though you might accidentally pull it out? The answer is Bahi Yafilu Reb Shimon right here. They are even Reb Shimon who holds throughout Shas that Dovah Shein and Eskavin Mutter, even he would agree, because as you said, it's a situation. Abai and Rava, Dami Tavai, Rabbi and Rava both say, Moj Reb Shimon, but situation of Layomas. Reb Shimon will agree. Okay, so Reb Shimon will agree that when it's situation, when it's inevitable that a malacha is going to be done right. So when you come to the wool, it's not inevitable that you're going to tear some of the wool out. You might not. Therefore, it's a Dovah Shein and Eskavin, and Reb Shimon will allow it. Right, over here, you're pushing something into the hole or around the edges of the hole or whatever. So again, yeah, it's some kind of fabric or whatever, yeah. So either the way Rashi is saying over here is you're putting it around the pipe that sticks out of the hole so to close up the little spaces in and you squeeze it in. You put it in very tightly. Or you put it into the actual hole, whatever it is, yeah. Fine. Okay. But still we have a problem. You're telling me that Rav holds Dovah Shein Meskaven is Mutter, but Ba'omer Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amar Rav Halacha K'Rav Yehuda. We know that Rav Chiya Ba'ashi said in the name of Rav that the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda always holds Dovah Shein Meskaven, that Rav Yehuda holds his author. So Rav said that the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, but Rav Chanan Bar-Ami Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rav Shimon, Rav Chanan Bar-Ami says in the name of Shmuel that no, the Halacha is like Rav Shimon. And Rav Chiya that Dovah Shein Meskaven is Mutter. But Rav Chiya Ba'Oven Masni B'Loy Gavri. Rav Chiya Ba'Oven had a different version than Rav Chiya Ba'Ashi. Rav Chiya Ba'Oven had a different version of how the statements went. He said Masni B'Loy Gavri. He taught it without the names of the second generation, who said in the name of Rav and Shmuel respectively. He said directly in the name of Rav and directly in the name of Shmuel. Rav Amalacha K'Rav Yehuda, Shmuel Amalacha K'Rav Shimon. So what are you telling me that Rav holds that Dovah Shein Meskaven is Mutter, and therefore in our case here he would say that you would be Mutter to move the wool to one side or the other for the shechita knife? when you might accidentally pull some of it out, and that would be an isser of toilish, which is similar to goyiz, and then davashenim skaven, and he holds the davashenim skaven as also. Elo la olam sover rav davashenim skaven also. No, the answer is we're going to say rav usually holds davashenim skaven as also.
We have to reject, right?
But we're going to say up until now we assumed that maybe toilish is part of goyiz, that pulling it out by hand is part of goyiz, of shearing it, it's a tool of that malacha. Now we would say the toilish lavainer goyiz. We would say now that no, toilish is not considered goyiz. That is why Rav says the halacha is like a yosi by the bechor, because in other words, it's not a matter, you're not being over on my sogez bechor tzeinacha, because you haven't done gziza, you haven't sheared the wool, because toilish is different than goyiz. Or be yomtiv, kind of time of the shari, so why is it mutter on yomtiv? Bechoreth, it's still part of the malacha. The reason is, the kind of time of the shari, the reason why he would be mutter on yomtiv, to have a oto dover migidula to achal yal. Because what you're doing is you're uprooting something from its normal place of growth, but you're doing it to achal yal. You're doing it in an unusual way. The usual way, in other words, before we were talking dover shen and eskab. Now we're talking about right. We said that Rav holds Dov Hashem Miskaven is also. If you're doing, he said it's also. He said like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav has said like Rabbi Yehuda that it's also. So therefore, we say if you were doing an actual malacha, then it wouldn't matter whether you're Miskaven or not. Even if you were a Miskaven, Rav would say it's also. But here, he would argue what you're doing is you're not really doing an actual malacha because you're doing it till Achayad. You're doing it in an unusual way. The same way as, for example, you could have, let's say, somebody's carrying outside on Shabbos something, let's say, balanced on their forearm or something, which is tala'achayat. It's an unusual way of carrying it, and it's not also daraisa, only darabanan. The same thing over here. Yes, it's also to cut something from its natural place of growth. That would be a tolda of goyiz. But over here, you're doing it tala'achayat, and therefore Rav would say that that's essentially what it is, right? So therefore, it would be most. So that's why Rav would say that it's mutter. So no contradiction to the fact that he says Dov Hashem Miskaven is also. Okay. The question then is, Tolish Lavainu Goyiz? Okay, so you're telling me then that Tolish is not considered part of Goyiz? And that's what we just said. And therefore, you're telling me that it would be mutter by Bechor, Bahatanya, but we learn in a Braise, so also in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, HaTolish HaTakona. If somebody pulls off a large feather from a bird, a konach means a feather from a bird, and then if he takes it and breaks off the end and starts shaping it, so starts making it size, and then starts making it to size, and then what he does is he pulls off the feathery parts on the sides of it. In other words, he's making a quill out of it. He's trying to make a quill for writing out of it. So first he pulls it out of the bird, then he shapes it, then he pulls off the feathery pieces on the side. Chayav shalosh chatois. That's the point. He's chayav three chatois. Each one of those is considered a malacha. But Amar Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish says, what three malachas has he violated? Tolish chayav bishum goyiz. When he pulls it out of the bird, then he's chayav on the grounds of goyiz.
Tolish is not.
That's what we're asking. What do you mean tolish is not goyiz? We see over here that Rish Lakish. That's what we're saying over here that Rish Lakish is in. Tolish is goyiz. Yeah. Yeah. So tolish chayav mishum goyiz. Kotim chayav mishum machatef. Next, when he cuts it to size, when he cuts the end of it to size, he's over on the issue of machatef, which is the malacha of cutting something to size. Memarit. Yeah. All these things are also on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah. Only malacha sechel nefesh is also on Shabbos.
On
Yom Tov I meant. Memarit chayav mishum machatef and. Taking off the feathery parts from the sides of the feather is chayav mishum lemachek because of the malacha of smoothing something out. Each of those is an amalacha. So therefore, that's memareach. That's miruach is smoothing out the pile of grain. No, this is memachek. But no, here we say it's the kof there. No. Memachek is the av malacha of memachek is, for example, you have a skin and you're smoothing it out to get it ready to use as parchment or what have you, or to use it as leather or whatever. That's memachek. So from that, you have a number of tools, for example, smoothing out wax is mamachic, smoothing out any kind of a thick ointment or liquid like that is a tool of mamachic that ever used. Smoothing out the sides of the quill is also mamachic. So anyway, so you see that goizes is, so you see that cholish is part of goizes. Tosfos says maybe the Gemara, maybe we could think to make a distinction between the dinim of Bechor versus the dinim of versus the dinim of Yom Tov, but no, the Gemara doesn't seem to want to make any such distinction. Anyway, the answer is shiny konaf dahinu urchel. The difference is that with a feather, the normal thing is you don't cut them off. You don't use a blade to cut them off the bird. The normal thing is you pluck them out. So therefore, that is the normal way of doing that malacha. As opposed to with an animal, the normal way is not to pluck out the wool. The normal way is to cut it off using scissors or whatever, or using shears. Therefore, pulling it out by hand is kalacha yam. In other words, the same kind of thing. As for example. The same way as in general with malacha.
In one case.
Because the same principle is, for example, you have, let's say, it's not normal to carry things on your head, let's say, so therefore normally carrying on your head would be considered kalacha yad, but you have certain things that it is normal to carry on a head. For example, you have in the Middle East where women carry jugs or whatever on their head, so then that would be normal.
Plugging is normal to make a quill.
So therefore, when you make a quill, you normally pull it out. You pluck it out of the bird. Exactly. As opposed to when it comes to taking wool off an animal, the normal way is to shear it. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, so far so good then. So we're saying that Rav holds that, first of all, Rav holds the halachas like Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam. Second of all, he says that it's the same kind of thing would be mutter on Yom Tov. Now, not on the grounds that it's Einam Eskavin, because it may well be Rav in fact holds Dovash Einam Eskavin is still also, but rather because he says it's Kalachaya, right? Now, if we're going to say that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam about taking the wool, about the wool when it comes to the Bechor, and again, you have the Machlokas Rishonim, whether Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam means, and therefore whether Rav means that even Lachatchila you're allowed to pull out the wool by the Bechor, or whether he only means that you're not allowed to do it, not Lachatchila, I mean, but Miskabin, deliberately, or is it only that you're not allowed to do it deliberately, but if you accidentally pulled it out, yeah. So if Rav holds like Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam, the Pashtus, we would assume Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam sovel like Rav, then we would hold reciprocally that Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam probably agrees with Rav as well. That Dovah Shein Maskavin is Oster. In which case, if Rav Paskins like Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam, the Pashtus, that would mean that they both agree with each other's positions. Then so Rav would agree with Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam's position on the Bechor. Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam, presumably, we assume for purposes of argument, that he would agree with Rav's position on Hilchos Shabbos, that Dovah Shein Maskavin is also, and not only in Hilchos Shabbos, but in other areas of Halacha as well, where this question of Dovah Shein Maskavin also or Mutter comes up. So the question is, Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam, Dovah Shein Maskavin also, are you telling me that Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam would hold that if you're doing something which normally is also, but you're doing it without Kavana to do an act which is also, Nevertheless, it would be also v'hatanya. But the problem with that is we learn in a braisa. Now, we know the parah d'urma has to be completely red. If it has two black hairs or two white hairs or two hairs of any other color or whatever, then it's possible. If it has one, then it's still kosher. So, suppose you have, the braisa says, shtei sairis, suppose you have two hairs on the animal, ikran ma'adim v'roshan mashter, where the root of them is red, but then towards the tip they become black. So what can you do with them? Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam goes to the Misparayim in a Choshish. Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam says you're allowed to cut off the black tips, and you don't have to worry. Now the Parah Adroma is Kodshin. The rule that you're not allowed to shear a Bechor applies to all Kodshin. So therefore, so you're telling me that you're allowed to do it. So on the face of it, you have a case here, Dovah Shein Maskavin.
You have two hairs, so you bought it with
money from Beit Chabad. Yeah. Now it turns so it's kodshin in a certain sense. Yeah. So now you find that it has two black hairs. So it has two hairs that are black at the tips that are black at the tips. So Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam says no problem. You can cut off those black tips. Well, that's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that we're talking about, there's actually two different gear stories over here. Tosfos brings the gear story the other way around, that the roots of the hair are black and the tips are red. So the point is, there also we would be saying that you can cut out the two black hairs. Rashi prefers the Girsa as we have it in front of us, that the roots are red and the tips are black on the grounds of that's how it is in Tosefta of Masechta Parta. Anyway, whatever it is, Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam is saying you're allowed to cut them off and there's no problem. So according to Rashi, the point is that we're allowed to cut off the black tips and we're not worried that you're being over on the issue of Gozes and Kodshim because it's Dover Shein Meskaven. Tosefta has a problem with that, which is, what do you mean Dover Shein Meskaven? Dover Shein Meskaven. One second. Exactly. Dover Shein Meskaven, you mean you didn't mean to do this particular action, but you did something else, and by accident, the thing, you know, here, you actually want to cut off these hairs, right? So therefore, Tosfos understands differently. What we mean is, you're allowed to cut off those hairs, even though in the course of cutting them off, you may accidentally cut off some other hairs as well. That's the point.
So the other hair is not becoming.
Right. Okay, you have different achronim. I think the Minchas Chinuch, for example, talks about it, that Rashi might hold that the fact that you're not, Dover Shein Meskaven might mean that you're meaning to do it for the sake of gizah. You're doing it for the sake of shearing because you want to use the hair, whereas here you're not. You're doing it in order to make the part out of Makasher. It's fine. Whatever it is, the point is that Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam allows it, even though it's Dover Shein Meskaven, and according to Rav, Dover Shein Meskaven is also, so that how can Rabbi Yosi ben Amishulam agree with Rav? The answer is shiny part of the labas givi. The answer is you could say the part of duma is different because it's one thing with sheep; they have wool. You shear the wool in order to use it to make clothing. Cows don't have wool; they have hair. So therefore, the pastures, you know, it shouldn't be also maybe to shear it because what would you use the hair? What would you use the hair for?
But it has nothing to do with Dava Shana Mikai.
So maybe, no. In other words, maybe the Gemara is assuming the Gemara is assuming that maybe the issue is only on the kind of animal where you normally use the hair. In the case of a cow, it's not like that. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? Tanya, no, that can't be. We learn in a Braisa that when the Pasuk says, Le'savad b'chor sheirecha v'le'sogar b'chor tzeinecha, the Pasuk says you're not allowed to work with the b'chor of, you're not allowed to do work with the b'chor of your ox, and you're not allowed to shear the firstborn of your sheep. But the Braisa says, v'eimei al-shur ba'avoid v'tzein v'giza. So from that Pasuk, you only know you're not allowed to work with the ox, you're not allowed to shear the sheep. Minayim listen at the Omer Shal Zeba Zeb at the Omer Shal Zeba Zeb. How do we know that it's the same way the other way around? That you're also not allowed to. They're also not allowed to work with the sheep or shear the ox. How do you know? Tavavayim alay savid alay saga. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't work and don't shear. And the vav moisif al inyan rishin. The vav ties them together. So therefore, you can learn one from the other. So you can't. So just like you're not allowed to amr shal zebe zebe shal zebe amr shal zebe zebe. How do we know that what applies to one applies to the other? That you're not allowed to work with the sheep and not allowed to shear the para. So the answer is tamabayim alay savid alay saga. The answer is since it says alay savid alay saga and they're tied together with a vav, then that means that the, what applies to one applies to the other as well. So the bottom line is therefore, so you're not allowed to shear para. So what are you telling me you're allowed to because no further now? Ella, shiny part of the kotcha betikabayis. The answer is no. Okay, we'll give a different answer. The answer is the part of Duma is not such a problem to shear it because it's only kotcha betikabayis. It's not something that's going on in the Zayach, so therefore you're allowed to shear it. The question is, vulnerable laws of kotcha betikabayis are still in the
Gizah.
The Pasuk says that's talking about something that has to do with a goof, a bechor. And we know it applies to other kotcha mizayach as well. It's not kotcha mizayach, it's not brought on the mizayach. It's shechted and burned outside your shalim. I'm not allowed to say. Where does it say? Where does it say? No, it doesn't say.
No.
The problem with that is, well, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kotcha betikabayis, are still in the giz of avodah. Didn't Rabbi Elazar say that even kotcha betikabayis, you're not allowed to shear and you're not allowed to work? So the answer is midrabbanan. Okay, they're only asked the midrabbanan. Okay. Over there, I'll take a break for a second. I'll go over there. Okay, so midrabanan. So there's only an issur on it. So it's called your better goodbye. It's fine. There's an issur on it. There's an issur to shear it only midrabanan. That issur is not midrashi. The question is, right, if you're Isur Drabanan, okay, but you still have the Isur Drabanan. So what is Rabbi Yekib and Amasholom saying you're being able to, you're able to be over on an Isur Drabanan? No, so we have to give a different answer. El shiny para de loshticha. No, rather, we're going to answer that maybe the para aduma is different because it's not so common. Something that's not, we have a general rule that milsit loshticha like gazer barabanan, and abanan don't usually make gzera on something which is not common. So the para aduma, being such a rare thing, you only have, you're only the other one, nine of them in history so far. So therefore, the Rabbanon never made a gzeira on it in the first place. The Hagoy Sabach takes out the word Ella over here because according to him, the Gemara is not going back on the answer that we said before. We agree that there is an Isser Drabanon on shearing Kodshe Dedekabayis, but we're saying the Poro was an exception to that. There's a different explanation which keeps the Ella, and we're saying that the reason why there's no Gzera on the Parah Aduma, not so much because it happens so rarely in history, but because it's so rare to find the Parah Aduma that the Rabbanan did not want to. Yes, there is a Gzera on shearing Kodesh Bet Kabayis, but the Chachamim did not want to impose that Gzera on the Parah Aduma. Because then it would make it much harder to find one. As it is, it's hard enough to find a part of Aduma. If you even have that, you have two hairy with black tips on it, and you're not going to be allowed to shear them, then it's going to be almost impossible to find one. Right. So those are the two ways of understanding when we're saying that it's not common.
And the first way is what?
So the first way is that yes, it should apply to culture that it should apply to the part of Aduma, but the Chachamim didn't make it apply to it because it's so rare, and in general the Chachamim only make their Zeta some things that are common. The other possibility is not so much that the Parah Aduma is rare, it's that it's hard to find, and therefore the Chachamim didn't want to make an extra hard shipping. No, it's similar. No, one is that it may not be that hard to find a Parah Aduma, but since it only happened nine times in history, the Chachamim didn't feel the need to make a Zeta on something that happened so rarely. The other one is, it doesn't matter how, the other one is, it's no matter that each individual part of Aduma, when you find it, it's such a rare thing that therefore, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that you could say that, so Rabbi Yossi ben Amashulam would agree with Rab, that Dov Hashem is Kavanis Osir, but over here, we're not talking about an Issa D'Araisa anyway, we're only talking about an Issa D'Rabban, and the Issa D'Rabban doesn't apply to the part of Aduma for one reason or another. Okay.
So he would
basically hold like Rav that Dov Hashem Miskaven is also, but this isn't considered Dov Hashem Miskaven because it's anyway not also Midar Raisa Tashir. Okay, the question still is, why? So Rav, yeah, that's the point. So you can still agree with Rav. Okay, the question is, why do we need to be over on the Issa D'Rabbanan, or why did the Rabbanan have to exempt the Parah Aduma from this? The Lichala, why don't we have another alternative? We will be Mechalal the Parah Aduma, we'll buy it back from Hekdesh once we discover that it has the two black hairs. The Lachka L'Cholin, then it'll go out to Cholin. The Ligza, then we can be Gozed it without any problems, and now it doesn't belong to Hekdesh anymore. The Hadar Lichdesha, and then we can be Makdesh it again. So why don't we do that? Lichal means to make it Cholin, right. So we'll make it cholin. By being poydet, we'll be poydet. We'll lift the cholin. We'll take it out to cholin. The ligza. Then we'll shear it. We'll lift the shah, and then we'll match it.
Can do that.
Why not?
Can a parah aduma that was hekdesh?
Why not? Anything that's kosher that a kabbayist can buy back from hekdesh. Yeah.
Not is there.
Yeah.
Is there what is there?
Right. The answer is jameho yikarin. The answer is yes. The parah aduma costs a lot of money, so they don't have that much money on hand necessarily to be mechalal. The problem with that is still the levit like a shmuel. Fine, so why is that such a problem? We can still do for it like what Shmuel says. The Amar Shmuel hektish shava mana shachilay al shava kotem acholo. Shmuel says that even if you have a hektish which is worth a mana, which is 100 dinar, and you were mechalalith on a shava prota, b'dieved it is macholo. So by the same token over here, yes, the part of Adurma may cost hundreds of thousands. So what? You mechalalith for a small amount of money, whatever money they have on hand. Then you shear it, and then et cetera. That way you don't have to be over even on the Issa D'Rabbana. The answer is Amar Drama Shmuel Shechila. Yeah, but Shmuel's only talking about doing it with the Yevah, Chila Miyamar. He never said you should do it Lachachila. Here, to be doing that would be a Lachachila thing, so therefore better to just leave it as Kodshim, not be over on that, and then instead, so we'll go and shear it. We're shearing it as only also did Abbas. Okay. Right. So all of that is one possibility, which allows us to say that Rabbi Yossi ben Amashulam does agree with Rav. Dov Hashem Miskaven is also, but in this case, that's not an issue because the whole issue is only Dirabbanan anyway, and the part of Adurma is exempted. e-voicing, or another possibility, which is answered very simply. Rav Savalok Rav Yosef ben Amshulam, Rav Yosef ben Amshulam, Loi Savalok Rav. It's not necessarily reciprocal. Rav agrees with Rav Yosef ben Amshulam. That is mutter by the Bechor in the case of our Mishnah. Rav Yosef ben Amshulam doesn't have to agree with Rav that Dov Hashem Miskaven is Oster. He might hold, like Rav Shimon, that Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter. And then in that case, then there's no problem. Then that's why he's saying that you can shear the Parah Aduma, because after all, it is Dov Hashem Miskaven. Either, like Rashi, it's Dov Hashem Miskaven about the two black hairs themselves, or according to Tosfos, those for sure you're allowed to shear. It's only the rest of it that it's only that you might accidentally cut other hairs that he would be not.
So Rav would agree with him.
So Rav would agree with him on the case of the Bechor of our Mishnah, but he doesn't necessarily have to that you're allowed to do it by the Bechor. You're allowed to move the hair to one side to the other to make room for the knife. Again, either as the Rambam would learn it, that it means even you could do that in the scabin, even if you purposely mean to detach hair, or according to Tosfos, doesn't mean if you meant to detach hair, just say accidentally did. And on the other hand, Rav Yosef ben Amshulam could say that in general, Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter. He doesn't have to agree with Rambam on that. Okay. Fine. Then we said the Tolish is a fair or virtually is his enemy. Maybe we said that it can happen that you pull out hair, that you pull out hair from on the neck, as long as you don't move it from its place. In other words, you leave it over there tangled up with the rest of the hair around it. Amr of Ashi, Amr of Shlokish, or of Ashi, it says on the side, Lo Shanu El Biyad. That only applies to you would be allowed to do that to make that room for the knife by hand. Also, but if you did it using a keli, such as a knife,
right,
then it would be to pull out the hair, then it would be also. The question is, what do you mean, Barak? It's only osam makam bekoifit mikanamikan. The Mishnah had said that you can make a space with the koifit, therefore with the cleaver, and then that's a keli from one side to the other. The answer is Tony Lukoifit. You're right, but the Mishnah doesn't mean bekoifit, that you're allowed to use the koifit to say it. Lukoifit's for the koifit. So you're making a space by hand in order to be able to chef with the koifit. So that would be allowed. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of Achen Tolish as a Seir Liris Mum, we said then also you can pull out hair to show a mum to a Chacham. Now, Shittim Kovetis points out the correct Girsa over here, and also Agoyt Habach points out on the previous Amud, the correct Girsa should be over here, Hat Tolish. The reason being that, in general, in Mishnayos, when we have a verb that's prefixed with a hey, it usually means you're not allowed to do it b'chatchila, but if you did it, then it's allowed. Ha-tolish, if somebody pulls out the hair, etc. Whereas tolish would imply that you're allowed to do it b'chatchila. Right, and the Gemara is going to ask over here whether it's b'chatchila or b'di'evad. So therefore, so it doesn't work if the lashon of the Mishnah is tolish, because that automatically would mean b'chatchila. So does the Mishnah mean that you're allowed to pull out the hair to show the place of the mum, even l'chila, or does it mean only b'di'evad? Here also you have that machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos, what l'chila and b'di'evad over here. Would it mean l'chila that you're allowed to do it l'chila, or would it mean l'chila, even b'kavana, right? Or would it mean that you're allowed to pull the hair to the side, l'chila, even though by accident you might tear some of it out? Or does it mean you're not even allowed to do that? But if you did it, then fine, then yeah. Omer of Yirmiyah, Toshma. Semer on the subach poison, and Brisa says that if you have wool that's tangled on the ear, now suppose you have, the animal has a suspected mum on the ear, which we're going to learn later on in the sixth parak, that we're going to have the whole catalog of mumim that apply to animals, and among them is a nick or whatever in the ear. We'll talk about it. So let's say, so you have that, but you have a bunch of wool is tangled and matted over there, and you can't see it clearly. So Rav Yosef ben Amshulam, I'm a total show of Marius Mumim. So Rav Yosef ben Amshulam says you're allowed to pluck it out and show the mum to the Chacham. Shmami no l'chachila. Therefore, we see that Rav Yosef ben Amshulam says it's mutter l'chachila. Good. Shmami no, that proves it.
Is that for Paradigma also?
Well, before Farah Adoma, before he said that you can cut off the black hairs, yeah.
He would be on Yom Tov.
No, Farah Adoma is not necessarily Yom Tov.
No.
Here also, we're not talking about Yom Tov. Here we're talking about throughout the year. You have a Bechor, it has a suspected mum.
Right.
If it turns out it's a mum, you'll be able to shecht it and the Kohen will eat the meat.
Right.
Or you'll give it to the Kohen, whatever, the Kohen will shecht it and eat the meat. So now you want to know, does it have a mum or not? But you have hair, you have wool tangled over there on the ear, so it'll be a thing. And I'm sure I'm saying you're allowed to pull out the hair from around it in order to be able to see the mum. So
why
we see
the
mum. Should
be allowed to pull out the
hair. Goizes, that's what we said we were discussing before. Is Tolish considered part of Goizes or not? Shmamino, that proves it. Shmamino l'chatchila, that proves Rav Yosef ben Amshulam is saying l'chatchila. Good, Shmamino. Amar Rav Mori, Rav Mori says you don't even need the Braisa for that. Afanan nami tamena. We actually see it in the words of our Mishnah. V'chein hatolash asaseir lulis makam mum. We say that also similarly, somebody who pulls out the hair to see the place of the mum. So my v'chein. What's the v'chein? What do we mean similarly? Do we mean that the same din applies that even if you pull out the hair, you're not allowed to move it from the place? You still have to leave it tangled with the rest of the hair around it. You don't need that. Madach, when you're shechting, where the very fact that you're shechting demonstrates that you didn't pull out the wool for the sake of giza, you pulled it out in order to make a space for the shechita knife, and yet yet you're not supposed to move it from this place because of maris ayin, because people are going to think that you're shearing it. Lyrics, makam mum mibaya, much more so in order to show a place of a mum, which is less of a, where it's less obvious that you're doing it for a different purpose. So obviously the Mishnah wouldn't have to be telling us that comparison. Obviously the comparison in the Mishnah must be that in both cases, Rabbi Yosef ben Amashulam is saying you're allowed to pull out the hair, even l'chila.
You wouldn't have to teach that if
in the case of shchita, if you pulled out hair, you pulled out wool, whatever, you should leave it tangled with the rest of the wool. If we said that's true by shchita, it wouldn't be necessary to tell us the same din it's true by a mum. Because if that's true by shchita, how much more so by a mum? Where it's not so obvious that he's doing it for a purpose other than giza, other than shearing the wool and using it. So therefore, the v'chein must mean that the same way as in the reisha of the Mishnah, you're allowed to pull the wool to the side, even though accidentally or on purpose you might pull some of it out. The same thing in the sefer. So therefore, it's shemamino. So therefore, that proves it. That so we don't even need the braisa. The Mishnah itself is implying that you're allowed to do it l'chila. Again, according to the Rambam, that would mean that you're allowed to do it even the kavana, even knowingly pulling out the wool. Miscavin, according to Tosfos, it would mean that you're allowed to move the wool to the side, even though you might accidentally pull out some of the wool.
So what is the braisa say again?
So the braisa says it, because that's a braisa often expands on the Mishnah. But so first we brought a proof from the braisa, and then Mori is saying we actually don't need the braisa because we can see it, it's implicit in our Mishnah. But yeah, I mean, the braisa is still a braisa. It supports the Mishnah. Okay. It shows that our inference from the Mishnah is correct. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says, if hair or wool of a b'chur b'al mum falls off before the b'al mum was shechted, so you put that hair away, you put that hair or wool away in a window. But a window over here doesn't necessarily mean a window like what you have to look out. It can mean also something like a cubby. So whatever. Like a locker or a cubby or something where you're putting it away for safekeeping. Later on you shechted the animal. Later on it had a mum already, so later on you shechted it. Akavya ben Mahalalo master. Akavya ben Mahalalo would say that hair or that wool is mutter. Whereas Hacham would say it's also for reasons that we're gonna say in the Gemara. Mutter for Hana and also for Hana. So we'll see in the Gemara the Chacham are answering it because we don't want you to leave the b'chur alive as long as possible in order to get all the wool that comes off it. Fine, you know you can't shear it, but inevitably wool is going to fall off it at one time or another, and you're going to try to hold on to that, and this way after a while you'll have a nice amount of wool. So you may try to do that, therefore the chum are not allowing it, whereas a kabi ben malalo doesn't have a problem. Tosfos discusses over here that our sugya seems to be implying that the hair or the wool of psula amakdashin would actually be mutter d'oraisa. It's only also the rabbanon, and Tosfos gets into a whole discussion comparing this with various other sugyas, whether indeed that's the case. Okay. Anyway. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. All of that is Rabbi Yehuda's version of the machloikus between Akavya ben Mahalalel and the Chacham. We have to realize, by the way, Akavya ben Mahalalel, it seems, was in the times of Hillel and Shammai. You have a Mishnah in Adius where they offered him, you have this case over here, you have a couple of other cases of halachas, we'll have another one in Nidah Bez Hashem, where he argued with the Chachamim on certain halachas. The Chachamim at that time are still trying to avoid that there should be more machloikus than necessary. So they offered him, the Mishnah says in Adius, they offered him, if you change your mind on these dinim, then we will make you avdestin. What happened is, the Gemara expands on in Chagiga, that Hillel had an avdestin named Menachem, but this Menachem went out, Lepal Busra, or Lavardis HaMelech, whatever, he left to join the government. So now there's an empty seat to fill, an Avestin seat to fill. So it seems that it was at this time that they asked Akav ibn Malal to be the Avestin.
It was
a caliber to be. But he says I'd rather be called a fool my entire life, that I was willing to give up the position of Avestin rather than be called a Rosha for one moment by Hashem, that it should be said about me that I gave up my position in Halacha in order to my opinions in Halacha in order to get the position of Avestin. Because the Chachamim didn't want him in the position if he's going to continue holding his opinion on these things, because they wanted that there should be unanimity among the Sanhedrin, or at least among the leaders of the Sanhedrin. But he said, if I were to do that, then it would be like I gave up my I'm willing to give up my position in Halacha in order to get a high position, and so therefore he didn't do it. The Mishnah goes on to say there, by the way, that before he passed away, he says to his son. He says that you shouldn't continue following my opinion in these halachos. You follow the other chacham. That's how come? He says, I'll tell you. He says, because they learned from their rabbeim who are rabbim. I also learned from my rabbeim who are rabbim. So fine, I'm entitled to my opinion. They're entitled to theirs. But you only learned these halachos from me. The other chacham, the rabbim against me. So you have to follow them.
But why he didn't follow that? So
because he learned from his rabbeim. He learned from the rabbim of his generation. They learned from the rabbim of his generation.
Right.
So he held that, therefore, after rabbim mahafiz doesn't apply. Because you had rabbim against rabbim. But he's saying to his son, you have a yachid against rabbim. Anyway, the point is that Akav ibn Malal is many generations before Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So now you're talking a couple of hundred years later, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are arguing between themselves what exactly was the case that Akav ibn Malal argued about with the Chacham. So Rabbi Yehuda's version is, as we said, we're talking about again where the hair fell off of the Bechor while it had a mum, you hadn't shechted it yet. Later on you shechted it, and the question is whether this hair that fell off while it's alive is mutter b'hanar. So Rabbi Yossi says this isn't the case that Akav ibn Malal said is mutter. Ella, no, rather the case that Akav ibn Malal was talking about is seir balmum, seir b'chor balmum, shenoshar, again, where hair falls off of a b'chor balmum that fell off, v'hinichay b'chalon, you put it in a window or a cubby or whatever, v'achakach met, and then the animal died without being shechted. But that's a different case. That would be the case when Akav ibn... No, what do you mean? It wasn't so obvious. Why? A b'chor that died... Okay. A b'chor that died is also b'hanah.
Right.
So Rav Yossi is saying that Akav ibn Malal is being matir even if the b'chor died, even though the b'chor as a whole and all the wool that's still attached to it is also b'hanah, but the hair that fell off of it while it was alive is mutter b'hanah. What do you mean, why not?
It fell from the animal when it was alive.
That's fine. Akav ibn Malal would say that even though the rest of the animal that is now osur, nevertheless, this is mutter, and the Chachamim would disagree on that. But in other words, as the Gemara is going to say, Rabbi Yossi would say, in the case that you, Rabbi Yehuda, are talking about, where the animal later on was shechted and now became mutter b'ana, they wouldn't be arguing about that. Okay. Fine.
They would agree that it's mutter.
But Pasha, I mean, we'll see in the Gemara, actually. Yeah. Okay. Next, another din. Semer hamadul b'chor, if you have wool that's hanging loose off a b'chor, so it was detached from the skin, but it's tangled up with the other wool, so it's not falling off. So is it mutter or not? Es shenira imagiza mutter, the wool that seems to be still part of the fleece, which we'll see in the Gemara, in other words, that even though it's actually detached from the skin, it still superficially looks like it's attached. Like it's attached, it looks like the rest of the fleece. Mutter, that would still be mutter. The wool that does not look like it's part of the fleece, also that would be awesome. And that's like the Chachamim, obviously, because Akav ibn Malal would disagree with that anyway. He would say it's mutter. Okay. So,
I mean, basically, they're holding that anything that's cut, but on the animal, is still after.
Yeah, so they're saying, if it looks like it's still part of the fleece, then it would be mutter, right? Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We have to figure out when Rabbi Yossi says loy bazeh hitir akav ibn Malal, he's saying your case, Rabbi Yehuda, where again the hair fell off, you put it away for safekeeping, then the b'chor was shechted. You're saying, Rabbi Yossi, this isn't the case that akav ibn Malal was matir. What do you mean by that? Miklal de osar? Are you implying that akav ibn Malal would say it's osar in that case? Why? Now look at this. Akav ibn Malal is saying it's mutter even if the animal died, where the whole rest of the animal is also b'hanah. Shochtim b'oya. would we have to say when he checked it in the second part of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yosi is saying that I can't even my mouth is not through the hair, even if the animal later on died. Shechting it, boy, would it need to be said where he shechted it? Where the rest of the wool that's attached to the animal and the animal as a whole is much of an odd? Why would I have it in my alasar in that case? Ella, no. What Rabbi Yosi means is loy bazeh hitzer akavim achachamim oisrin. No. What Rabbi Yosi means is that's not the case where there's a machlokus, where Akavia would say it's mutter and the Chachamim would say it's oser, because in fact Rabbi Yosi says shachta divrei hakol shari. If you shechted the animal, everybody would agree that the wool that came off of it while it was alive is mutter. Keep pligi and Akavia would both agree that it's mutter. Keep pligi with mess. The machlokus would only be when it died. That's what Rabbi Yosi is saying. When he says loy bazu hitzer Akavia, he doesn't mean that in the case of Rabbi Yosi, Akavia would say it's oser. Just the opposite. He means that's not the case where Akavia had to be master because the Chachamim are mastering, the Chachamim would also agree it's mutter in that.
They would both agree
that.
Well, in that case,
right. Okay, so now let's figure out what the case. Now let's figure out more details about the case. The whole machloikas is where a mumcha, an expert, which we're going to learn in the next parak about this, that you need an expert, or actually in the fifth parak, we're going to talk about the dinim that you need an expert. Somebody who's received smicha for this purpose to be able to be matir a bachur. So only if a mumcha had previously checked it and said that it's mutter and just you hadn't gotten around to checking it.
How would you judge if he's a bachur? Is it a mumcha in bachur?
He received smicha from somebody who is.
I mean,
he could have received a more general smicha, yeah, but specifically he would, yeah. We learned in Sanhedrin, for example, we had where Rav Chiya asks Rebbe for smicha for his nephews, for some of the nephews, he asks for Yoda, Yodin, Yata Bechoris, Yata, and then he asks the same thing for Rav, and then Rebbe gives him permission for Yoda and for Yodin, but not for Yata Bechoris, for reasons that the Gemara discusses over there. Anyway, the point is that when a chacham gives smicha, he's entitled to pick and choose, just like nowadays you can get smicha for yor, you can get smicha for yor a day, you can get smicha for chosh and mishpat. I mean, our smicha is not the original smicha ish and pish from Moshe Rabbeinu, but still you have a similar concept. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Asi is telling us in the name of Rish Lakish that when a mumcha declared this bechor mutter, and later on the wool fell off, that is the case where Akavya ben Mahalalel will be master it and the Chachamim will still master it. What's the argument? The Marasava Gazrin and Duma Osi L'Shahuye, the Chachamim hold, we're still going to make a Gzeira and after that rule, because otherwise you might keep it around. And because like this, again, you want to get as much of the wool that comes off it as possible, and you figure you might as well, because what? So, you know, eventually you're going to have to give it to the Kohen. So you might as well, it's in your own interest, the Yisrael, to keep it around as long as possible. So therefore the Chachamim don't want to allow you that. Omar Saba, like I was reading, whereas Akavya ben Mahalalel is not going to be gozer on that. Because Akavya is going to say, once a mumcha was master it, then you're not going to keep it around for very long.
Why is that?
Because the pastures, once the mumcha was master it, what are you going to keep around an animal that you can't do anything with? We know you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to work with it, so at that point you might as well just get it checked and have it done. And the Chachamim are saying, the fact is, though, you might try to keep it around, and then you might forget that it's a Bechor and end up being over on Gizav Avodah. So therefore it'll be also right. Avo lois tirei mumcha, but Rish Lakish continues, if the mumcha had not been master it before the wool fell off, divrei hakol oser, then everybody would agree it's oser, because then, in effect, it's like a tam. When a mumcha was not master it yet, we still have to consider it as though it were a tam.
And therefore, a tam,
as the Gemara is going to say later, even Akavya agrees that when it comes to a bechor that's a tam, you're not allowed to use any of the wool that falls off it, because then you might have to keep it around. There you have a mitzvah to keep it as a korban, to bring it as a korban.
A tam meaning
that it doesn't have any mum.
Okay.
A tam as opposed to tumim as opposed to bamum. You're going to keep, you have to bring it on a mizbeach. And you might keep it around, because you might say, I may as well wait, I'm in no hurry to bring it as a korban. So therefore, so until a mumcha checks it, then it's still considered a tum.
So there
is it there. So therefore, so even Akavya would agree, if a mumcha didn't check it yet, then the wool is off. So the only machlokas would be, if a mumcha checked it, then wool fell off, and later on, the animal died, as Rabbi Yosi says, or was shechted, as Rabbi Yehuda says. That would be the argument. Most of Rav Sheshet says I have a contradiction to that. A Braisa says...
Contradiction is to what?
Not a contradiction. Well, there's a contradiction that Rav Sheshet is going to ask, is that you're telling me that there's a difference between whether a mumcha checked it or not. But let's see this Braisa, and we'll see. There doesn't seem to be such a distinction. The Braisa says, Bale mumin oistrin b'chol shehen, Bale mumin after what they're mixed with b'chol shehen, meaning if you have one bal mum mixed in with even 1,000 tmimim, you can't bring any of them as a carbon. Rabbi Yossi Yomi Yivakir. Rabbi Yossi says you have to check it. Rabbinon b'may Yivakir. Well, that's what we have to figure out. What does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says Yivakir? Or Yivukar, actually. Shitamukabetis has the Girsa, and later on in the Gemara we also have the Girsa. Yivukar, which is in the passive sense. It should be checked. So we have to figure out what does Rabbi Yossi mean with that term, Yivakir or Yivukar. Rabbinon b'may Yivakir. So we have to we discussed that in the Mishmeder. She said, what does this word yivakir or yivukar mean? Do we mean check and see which one is the baal mum, the lishkalei, and take that one out of the mix, and then the rest of them are mutter? What do you mean? We call the Tanakama omalav. So what does that mean? The Tanakama says you can't look for it. Why ever not? If you can find the baal mum, what's the problem? So it can't be that we're talking about the actual case where you have a bunch of animals mixed together. We're not talking actual animals mixed together. We're talking about over here not the animals themselves, but rather wool, the fleece of a bechor baal mum, which was mixed up with fleeces of chulin. And there the question is whether they're mutter. Gizas b'chor baal mum maskin, and we're talking about the wool shorn off of b'chor baal mum, which is osir. Well, that's what I'm saying. No, hold on. Okay. Uman Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda. So who is the Tanakama of this Braisa? That would be the same as Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. The Amun Lishchatu Asri Rabbanon, where he says that even if the animal is shechted, with the Bechor is shechted, is where the Rabbanon say it's also. So therefore, the Rabbanon are saying there's no possibility of being matir this mixture, because it doesn't matter. Even if the Bechor is later on shechted, the wool that came off it while it was alive is always going to be also, and therefore it's going to also the entire mixture, because you don't know which one is which. Rabbi Yossi, the Taimei, the Amanishcha, through Shor Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi goes according to his Svara, where he says in our Mishnah that when the Bechor eventually is shechted, the Rabbanon would allow the wool. They only asked it when the animal died without ever being shechted. And yet, the Katoni Yivukar. Yet, even Rabbi Yossi, who is saying that Mutter, uses the expression Yivukar. It should be checked. So what does that mean? The Pashtus can't mean that you check the wool itself. You have no way of knowing which animal the wool came from. My Yivukar. What does it mean it has to be checked? We have Rabbi Yehuda who is saying it's also because period. Rabbi Yossi is saying it's mutter, but even Rabbi Yossi is saying it's only mutter if you vukar. So what does you vukar mean? Yeah. What is checking into? Doesn't that mean that Rabbi Yossi is saying at this point check whether this bechor baal mum has a permanent mum or a temporary mum? Which means, in other words, if it has a permanent mum, then we're good. You'll go ahead and shecht it. The wool will be mutter, because Rabbi Yossi holds once the animal is shechted, the wool is mutter, even according to the Chachamim. So therefore, what do you have to do? You vukar. You have to find out. When we're saying it had a mum, is it a permanent mum or is it a temporary mum? Which would imply, afa gav shalei tirei mumcha. So we're talking about, even though a mumcha has never checked it yet, you're saying now, after the fact, you have this wool mixed up with all the other bits of wool, Rabbi Yossi is saying it's not too late now, go ahead and have a mumcha check it. So what are you, Rish Lakish, telling us? Because if you check it, you find it has a mum kavua, that it is kavua, then good, you can check the animal and the wool is mutter. But that doesn't fit with what Rish Lakish said, which is that if the wool fell off before the mumcha checks it, then everybody agrees it's also.
Regardless
whether it's a mum kavua or not. So how would that work? Yeah. The answer is, Omar Rabba, no. Loi, that's not what Rabbi Yossi means by the word yivukar. Yivukar ihi tirei mumcha ein ve'iloi loi. The word yivukar doesn't mean check the actual bechor. It means check into the situation. Did a mumcha previously say that this bechor is mutter, or did he not?
would say it on the basis.
Rabbi Yossi would say that we would say Rava is explaining to work out the Braisa according to Rish Lakish, that what it means Yivukar means again, you have this situation, you have one fleece of a Bechor Baal Mum that's mixed up with a bunch of other fleeces. Rabbi Yossi would say, Rabbi Yehuda would say that's it. There's nothing you can do. The whole thing is also, according to the Chachamim, against the Kavi ben Mahalala. So if you don't know which is which, and even if you shech the Bechor, it's still also according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's mutter if you shech the Bechor, but Rish Lakish had said only if a mumcha had previously checked it. So it doesn't mean now go check the Bechor, see whether it has a mum or not. That's too late to do that. But it means find out, did a mumcha previously check the Bechor before the wool fell on? Before the wool fell off, or was shorn off, or whatever, and got mixed up with all the other wool, whether a mumcha had checked it and determined that it's a mum kavura and been master it. Yeah. If that was the case, then yes, and if not, then so that's what Rabbi Yossi would mean by yivakir or yivuka. Not that you check the actual animal; it's too late to do that. But you check, you find out, did a mumcha previously check this animal before the wool came off?
When do you have to check it for mumcha?
Now you have the problem that you have this wool mixed up with a bunch of other wool, and you want to know whether the mixture is going to be also a mutter. Now Rabbi Yossi is saying, find out if a mumcha checked it. If a mumcha had previously checked it before the wool ever came off, then fine, the wool will be mutter once you go and check it. Because as long as a mumcha checked it, then you're good. But if a mumcha had never checked it, then it's too late to have him check it now. Okay. Next, Ki Solik Robin, when Robin went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Amr L'Shmaita Kamed Rav Yirmiyah, he told over this whole discussion to Rav Yirmiyah. Amr, Rav Yirmiyah was very critical of it. He says, an expression that he has in a few places in Shas, Bavloi Tipshoi, the foolish people of Babel, Mishum de Yasvi Ba'ara de Chashaycha, since they live in a dark land, because Babel is very low-lying, Amri Shmaita de Machashcham, they say dark teachings. Rav Yirmiyah himself came from Babel, by the way, and the Gemara mentions in a number of places that Rav Yirmiyah himself, when he lived in Babel, like he couldn't even understand what the Chachamim were saying. He wasn't on a high enough level to understand. Then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he's a classic case of Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machtim, where the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you wiser, and he became the great Talmud Chacham Rav Yirmiyah. So now he's critical of the Chachamim in Babel that they're still on a low level.
He was a Babel himself.
The Rambam, in fact, writes. But I'm not writing one of his truvas, that there were different periods of time in this. You have the whole period of Amoraim lasted a couple of hundred years. There was a period of time over there when Rav Yirmiyah's criticism was correct. They didn't know that much Torah and Babel relative to the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. Then there were later times when they became greater, well, there was also a time when the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael were destroyed, and then most of the Chachamim ended up in Babel, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Yirmiyah says you have to go into this whole doichuk over here to figure out what yivakir and yivukar means. Loi shmielahu hadu amr rabchir ba'aba amr Rabbi Yechanan. Didn't they, the Chachamim in Babel, hear of what rabchir ba'aba said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan? Machloikas shabbat b'shabbatak v'lay masa. Nothing to do with whether the animal had previously been checked or not. We're not talking about the actual wool. We're talking about the actual animals. You're saying if it's the actual animals, why would the Tanakama of the Braisa say you can't check? Why would he be implying you can't check? Whereas Rabbi Yossi would be saying you check. Rav Chiba Abba tells us, because what we're talking about is, suppose the case is you checked the entire herd and you didn't find any animal that has a mum. And therefore, it's a whole different machloek. It's nothing to do with the question of the wool from Amish.
Not kavua.
The kamiflegi beklugta the Rabbeinu of Rabbanan. Therefore, the Tanoim of this Braisa, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, are arguing on the same machloek that Rabbeinu and the Chachamim have in other places in Shas. It's not. In Tzachim, we have it indeed, yeah. Ditznan, Shahoyer Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir used to say, suppose the classic case is, where the classic case is you have a place where there was Suffolk tumah, and then you checked it and you didn't find any tumah. You have a place to rather where there was known to be tumah at one point, and you checked it and didn't find anything. So Ditznan, Shahoyer Rav Meir Omer, called Dava Shahoyer Bechesed tumah, anything that had a chazakah of being tumah, it always retains its tumah, even if you checked it and you didn't find anything, because maybe you didn't check thoroughly enough. So Rashi gives an example from the Gemara over there. Let's say, for example, you have a field where you know at one point there was a grave in it, But now you check the entire field and you don't find any trace of a grave. So Rabbi Meir says, that's not good enough. Obviously, the grave has to be there somewhere. It didn't disappear. Until you find out where the tumah is. And until you find it, then the field is still tumah. The Chum say that's not necessary. All you have to do is you keep on digging until you reach bedrock, or until you reach virgin soil, which was never worked, and then you can be sure that there's nothing below that.
How do you know it's virgin?
Because you can tell, for example, you can tell that it's hard, that it was never worked, that it was never dug up. So by the same logic over here, we're talking about, so you have this one animal balmum, this one bechor balmum that was mixed, a regular animal balmum, was mixed up with a bunch of other animals that are tmimim. Now you check them, you can't find a balmum among them. So the mayor would say, tough luck, you still can't bring any of them as korbanos. There's obviously a balmum somewhere there, and you just didn't check carefully enough. And the chum would say, no, once you check carefully, then you're good enough. So by the same token, therefore, that's why the chachamim of our braita would be saying, the chachamim would hold like Rabbi Meir, that there's no way to get around it. You either find the balmum or you're stuck. And Rabbi Yossi would hold like the chachamim against Rabbi Meir and say that no, as long as you check this thoroughly as possible, then you're good. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, because we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem, with more possibilities of how to understand this braisa. But in any case, Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying this braisa doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the whole matter of the wool of the bechor, because it's not talking about wool bechor, it's talking about the actual animals themselves.